Welcome to the Sports Bros Podcast, featuring the almighty B-Live, the money man Scotty D, and your host, the head of creative Eddie Cool. The Sports Bros Podcast, by the fan, for the fan, talking sports just the way you like it. And without any further ado, let's give it up for the Sports Bros. Hey, what's going on, world? This be your boy, Eddie Cool, the HOC, and welcome to another action-packed episode of the Sports Bros Podcast, number 270. At one point, I wasn't keeping count, but I like to keep count. And speaking of keeping things, B-Live sure did keep some receipts, and we'll hear about that later. Speak of the devil, because you know I can't do this by myself. I have not only one, but two of the best co-hosts in the world.
What's happening? What's going on?
What you're not going to do with this episode right here is cut off me at the very beginning. Eddie Cool, go ahead and introduce me. We'll get to him in just a moment. You do that.
We did say goodbye to Shannon Sharp today on Undisputed, but we'll talk about that later. Somebody was cutting onions. Introducing first the almighty B-Live.
What's happening? What's going on in the world today? Episode 207. And I would like to preface this episode right here because we've had quite an amazing NBA Finals, NBA postseason, and we're going to talk about it. But I want to reference everyone back to episode 202. I want you to go back and do a little homework. When you hear this, you'll see what I'm talking about, because this episode will be deemed hashtag I told you so, where the almighty B-Live called this from the beginning. The only reason why my prediction was 100% correct was because I picked the Bucks to win it all. But once they lost, I said it and nobody gave me respect. Nobody said anything. And now all the talking heads, now every talk show out there, every sports journalist wants to say, oh, now we need to give the Denver Nuggets their props. I gave them their props a month and a half, almost 2 months ago. This is the episode 207, Almighty B-Live edition of I Told You So. And since somebody didn't do their homework, I gave both the Sports Bros homework, because I gave a 10-minute segment of where I was completely right and they were completely wrong. Now one of them is unprepared. Go ahead and introduce the other guy on the show, and I want to see his dumb face in all its entirety for this entire episode. Egg on that forehead and all. Eddie Cool, go ahead and introduce him.
How the hell can I follow that up? Let's hop right into it. No, I'm joking. How in the hell can I follow that up? He is the other guy. He is pound for pound the meanest, leanest, toughest, thuggish, ruggish, lunch lady man person, sir, on this side of the Mississippi River and in all of Washington County. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the one, the only, the mean machine himself, the money man, Scotty D.
School's out for summer. Yes, sir. Finally, I'm on summer. Well, I was on summer break over the weekend, and I started work again today or yesterday at the school. So no summer break for me. Although I am headed to Fenway Park this weekend to see Yankees and Red Sox in Boston. I'll give you a full report next week. So I do have a little teeny tiny summer break. I can't wait to fill you in on that because I can't wait to get there. But I am going to give you guys a vow. You two, a vow. Anybody listening, a vow. This is my word. Should I, the money man, Scotty D, ever be in the fortunate position where I get to interview somebody after a victory of significance or a championship, I will come up with something better than what does it mean to you? I will think of a better question, and I don't know what that question is because I have time, because it's not about to happen for me anytime soon. But I will give you my word that should I ever be standing on a floor at the center court of a basketball championship celebration with confetti coming down on me, I will think of something better than what does it mean to you? if I'm ever at a golf tournament and somebody is holding a shiny new trophy and they send that person to me with my microphone, I will say something better than, hey, you just won. What does it mean to you? I'm going to think of something better. Don't know what it is, but that is my word to you. And B-Live, I don't know what you're talking about. I gave you props for picking the Nuggets to not win the championship already, like a couple episodes ago. Huh?
Okay, yeah.
I did. Remember I said congratulations. You picked the number one team.
We have documented proof. That's why I told you to do your homework. I even gave you, I took the time to take out an excerpt. It is on YouTube, just to let you know. I will post a link to our page as well, so everyone can hear exactly what I said and the ridiculousness that I got from the money man and the head of creative when I said the Nuggets were going to win it all. This was
congratulations. I already congratulated you like three episodes. Congratulations again. Yeah, you did it. Good job. You had the foresight to pick a team that had the best record and say they'll probably go to the championship and not win. You did it. I didn't.
Here you go. You see, you always got that little undertone of the sarcasm and smart assery that I just never.
And with that, let's go to the top of the order, Eddie Cole.
I don't even know why the hell I'm here for. I don't
know. we coming in hot.
Yeah, I'm gonna let y'all have it. No, I'm joking. I got.
Introduce the thing and let B-Live take a victory lap, and then I'll respond. Go ahead.
All right, man. Let me shut the hell up and let's go ahead and hop right into it. The top of the order.
All right, let's get this thing started. Here it is, the top of the order.
Damn it, B-Live was right. The Denver Nuggets, they win the series 4-1 against the Miami Heat. Nice shirt. Love that shirt, by the way. The 94-89 at home, and it gives the Denver Nuggets their first championship in franchise history and in 47 years. Joker was the MVP. Jimmy Butler was just Jim. B-Live, go ahead and take a victory lap.
Let me just put it this way. It's not even going to be that much of a victory lap. Yeah, it is. I'm going to.
I don't know. Why are you over there lying like that? Go ahead, man.
Man, I said it. I'm going to tell you right now. I said it for different reasons because I just didn't see where. Because what Scotty D said in episode 202 was that he wanted more interest. And what tends to happen is that us as human beings will take something that's more interesting and automatically assert it as to being better. That is not the case. Nine times out of ten is usually the case because we like success. We like success. We like to see our stars front and center. And it's one of those things where something that just is not appealing to the eye will automatically assume and say that it's not great. You know who I attested that for this little throwback? I attested that Tim Duncan, the big fundamental. Right. You will never see highlight films of him. You will until, like, you know, you always get the saying, give people their flowers while you yet still can. It's hard to do that when they're not flashy, where they're not flamboyant, but when they just go and do business. And this is what we're seeing right now with the Denver Nuggets. They didn't have the shoe deals. They didn't have all the commercials. They didn't have all the airtime. They just went and did business. And when I said a few episodes ago, like when I really started to analyze their, because here, I'll be honest with you, I didn't watch most of the regular season Denver Nuggets. I started watching in late March, once March Madness was over, early April, I was like, okay, let me start seeing what's going on. Let me figure out why the Denver Nuggets are the number one seed in the West. And then I'm looking at the roster top to bottom, like, they got some dudes on here. Like, I see four players on their team, and I said this before, that could score you 30 points at any given point in time. And what they ended up doing is they filled in their role. And now we're
what four are giving you 30 after the top two?
Oh, Michael Porter Jr. can definitely give you 30. He's done it.
He scored like 9 a game in the finals.
Yes, because you have Joker and Murray.
He doesn't. They're on the team all the time. They're always on the team. Okay. Who else you got?
Let's try.
Okay. Who else?
Aaron Gordon. I've seen him put 30 on Aaron you. Gordon.
Okay.
So then you got role players like KCP that they already. KCP was the veteran on the team that had prior NBA Finals experience. That's your boy, though. That's your Lakers. That's your bubble Lakers right there. Now we get the quiet mouth over there. Okay. See,
you didn't give me anything exciting. You're talking boring about them boring guys again.
There's your problem right there. You didn't like them because they weren't appeasing to the eye.
But I didn't like them because they weren't the Lakers. That's why.
Yeah, because they swept your Lakers.
I realize. They're very good.
And you give them credit, but you won't give them the credit that they deserve. They won. Oh, my Lakers are done. And you were just melancholy about the whole time. I'm going to bring the
ratings noise. Ratings were abysmal.
No, they weren't.
Yes, they were. They were down from last year when the Celtics were down
2%.
Down. They didn't move the needle.
The needle didn't need to be moved. The NBA Finals is exactly what the people needed. They didn't need some flash and flare.
They needed a five-game series with a Y League team against Djokovic and Murray and two other guys who maybe could score 30.
Blame that on the Eastern Conference.
It was terrible. It was terrible. And the Western Conference, they beat a 7.
That's what you get when you do business in the regular season. You get the top seed, you face the lower seed. If I hear that dumb freaking reference ever, they beat an 8 seed, they beat 4, they beat a 7. That's what you get when you're the number one seed. If you're a lower seed, if you don't do as well in the regular season, your path is going to be tougher. But if you do your business in the regular season, you earn the right, and you don't have to do play-in games, and you get to play somebody that played one or two games just to get in. That's an advantage of being the number one seed. What's the problem with that?
There's no problem. They won fair and square. They're the best team. No question about it.
No, you're the one with the question. Oh, they beat a 7 seed.
They did.
Whose fault is that for y'all being a 7 seed?
It's not their fault. They beat who's put in front of them.
I'll tell you what.
I'm agreeing with you.
Here's the thing. You can never just actually just agree with me. You always got the small little comments and just keep you know what you're doing. Here's the thing. The Nuggets deserve all the props and respect. Now the media pundits are doing the dumbness that they always do. Now they're taking it over the top. Now they're talking about a dynasty. Now they talk about Joker and Murray being the best duo ever. And I've already seen a poster. where Joker is the GOAT. I'm like, oh, good God.
B-Live, since you say that, I'm glad you said something about the word dynasty. Stop it. Okay, they won one championship. A dynasty includes two or three more championships during, a 4 to 6 or 8 to 10 year period of time. Golden State is a dynasty. Chicago was a dynasty. The Lakers had a dynasty, and the Celtics had a dynasty. If we're talking football, the Patriots have a dynasty. And somebody put some whack-ass posts last night talking about the Joker and Jamal Murray are a better duo than Shaq and Kobe. First of all, to you people that make these asinine, asinine statements, take your phone and give it to somebody. Because you have exceeded your mental capacity in your head. You should not be allowed to live on your own, drive, and cook on your own. Because when you start making those kind of statements, something wrong in your head. But go ahead, be live.
Ask the 10.
I like ask the 9, ask the 10. I use that. That's, I don't think that.
I stole that from Skip Bayless.
Okay, I was like, that is, I like that. Skip Bayless, you need help. But anyway, and Undisputed turned off his mic while Shannon's making his final statement. All you heard was,
If you got to go to the bathroom, bro, excuse yourself. Like, cut it out. What are you doing?
He did that the whole 7 years they were together, though.
But that was so annoying. But now here's like in. All right, Dynasty, you got to win more than one.
Are you ready for me to talk? And
go for it. Yeah,
it's okay. Your turn. Okay. All right. The Dynasty thing is partially brought up because the coach came out and said last night, "We want more," so he immediately opened that can of worms. Here's the thing. Last week when we were talking, I said, I'm sure that the Nuggets are winning this, and I think they are good enough to win again next year. And why not? They're probably good enough to win two more. I could easily see them winning three in a row because Jokic, the Joker.
It's real easy to get them confused. It's so easy.
Yeah, because Novak Djokovic won the French Open this past weekend for the
23rd major, most all time.
Yes. So anyway, I slipped into that guy. Jokic, this guy is absolutely a generational player. He is now entered into that level. Now, I told you guys I didn't watch a lot of NBA this year, and I kind of brushed the Nuggets off. And a lot of that was due to when I watched these guys play the Lakers in the playoffs and bubble year, Jokic was not this player. He was actually a little bit chubbier, and Murray was a pretty good player, but they were not at this level yet. So credit to them for getting to this level, and credit for their coach for being the guy that developed them from bench players into superstars. With those two as the core, this team could absolutely win two more. Like who's the threat? In the West, Phoenix was a team that was one of the favorites, and they are in complete disarray right now. The Lakers are old, trying to get younger, but their best players are old. Anthony Davis showed he could stand toe-to-toe with Jokic and play this his level for one game. And then the rest of the series, he's not on that level. He doesn't have the consistency to hang with a Joker like that. So it ain't going to be the Lakers. It ain't going to be the Suns. The Warriors are also aging. There's really not a huge threat in the West that's been built yet. We know super teams assemble, but even they need chemistry sometime to come together. And I don't know that there's free agent movement out there this year that's going to warrant anybody to fear anybody but the Nuggets next year. And in the East, Miami was the best team. Come on. I mean, their backcourt scored 2 points in game 3. Ooh. Their best player had, 4 points with 6 minutes to go last night before he hit a couple threes and some free throws?
Yep.
So Miami is not the best. There's a chance they might not make the playoffs last year because this year they almost didn't. They were the 9 seed and lost and had to get a little bit of win streak going in. I don't know what's wrong with the Celtics. Obviously, Tatum is not a superstar. He's just a really good player. The Sixers seemingly have trouble because if you're relying on Harden to be the guy that gets you over, I mean, who's their biggest threat? I don't really actually see the legit next threat. Maybe Sacramento. Maybe they're the team that's building up and they're just not quite there yet to have a Western rival. I don't know. I don't see it. But this team is good enough because, like I said, I don't think those other guys are superstars. We don't really know how good Denver is because they're not playing great other teams. I mean, they just aren't. It's not their fault. But they do have what every repeating, three-peating dynasty-type team has, and that is a next-level superstar. And that's what Jokic is, man. That dude is really, really that good. And Murray is pretty good. They're not as good as Kareem and Magic or, Jordan and Pippen. They're not the best duo ever, but they are pretty good. And right now, they are the best in the NBA. And I have to say, I think Embiid should hand that MVP trophy back over because Jokic is a better player than Embiid is. And so congratulations, Denver. I think they were awesome and they absolutely deserved it. They were exceptional and maybe I'll watch them a little bit next year, but keep in mind too, this game, this deciding game, they play terrible. So that just shows you what the competition was. They couldn't hit threes. They couldn't hit free throws. They were turning the ball over. It was an awful performance. It just so happened that Miami is also terrible. I mean, Strus, you're going to try to win a championship with a guy named Strus who can't make anything. That's their dude. Who else they got?
Duncan Robinson.
Duncan, where was he? I didn't see that guy in the last two games.
Gabe Vincent.
Tyler Hero was active, but on the bench, he was a DNP coach's decision.
Wearing funny hats on the sideline. Lowry played very well, but he's getting up there. You can't count on him very much longer. And Butler's just not the superstar player. He's a really, really good player who probably maximizes and even goes over and above his talent, but there's a ceiling there. And he's, you know, he can't carry a team unless he's got somebody better. And Bam Adebayo's not that great of a big guy. He had 18 points in the first half the other night in game five. How many did he finish with?
20.
Yeah, he had 2 points in the second half. So there you go. There's your second best player.
Well, Miami making it as far as they did, they played out of their mind to get there, and the other teams underperformed. And the writing was on the wall. As much as you can try to will them and all of this, all this Disney magic that you try to sprinkle on it to make it, trust and believe. I hear what everybody's saying about the ratings and this and that and blah, blah, blah. But man, we got to see greatness in a different form. And when you mentioned some other dynamic duos, and I think the Joker and Murray have the recipe. Mm-hmm. They're in the making. They could possibly, their ceiling is ridiculously high of what they're capable of.
Yeah.
Like the fact that as a duo, their stats were better than the best Shaq and Kobe years. Points, rebounds, assists, their stats were better. They
talk about in the playoffs. They were
play.
They didn't play anybody.
That's such a dumb argument.
They won eight out of their last nine games because the teams they played weren't that good.
You're gonna blame them because of.
I'm not blaming anything. I'm just saying that if you're going to tell me that the reason these guys are better than Shaq and Kobe's because their numbers were a little bit better.
Okay. You know what? I don't want to do this, but you do this to me, Scott. That same argument is what, and I don't even want to go there, but I think this is where I need to drive the nail, take the hammer to the nail of the head when it comes to the LeBron versus Jordan debate. I hate to even bring up LeBron's name because it doesn't even matter about him right now. But they try to say that, oh, Jordan didn't play anybody. Oh, he played against mailmen and all this kind of stuff. Oh, they played against the Utah Jazz and the Portland Trail Blazers. That's the kind of dumb stuff that people say to try to minimize how great Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen were. And I'm bringing up Scottie Pippen because we're talking duos right now. Joker is transcendent, generational. There's going to be centers that are trying to shoot three-pointers and pass and distribute. Victor Wembanyama is coming out going to be the number one seed. Guess who he's going to be trying to chase? He's going to be chasing the Joker without question. And that's going to be every big man for probably the next 15, 20 years. Just like when Steph Curry came into the league. They tried to make Trae Young into the next Steph Curry. It didn't quite work out that way. But I guarantee you, guard play took up but was much higher rated when Steph Curry came in the league, changed the entire game. All these three-pointers that are shooting now. Dame Lillard wouldn't be Dame Lillard if it wasn't for Steph Curry. Watch the trend. Here's why I want to say this. I wanted to say this. It's like just because Denver, quote unquote, didn't. Could you also attribute the fact that Denver was just that much better than anybody else that they played?
They were, yeah. They were scrub teams.
Denver was just that much better.
Yeah, I know. They beat the hell out of Martin and Bam and
a lot of people's goats.
Struce.
LeBron James. And they beat
a group of donuts. Scottie, they do sound like a group of donuts. Duncan, Struce, and what's the other one?
And see, I'm not letting y'all do that. They also beat the team that beat the defending national champions is Steph Curry.
The national champions?
Yes.
National Basketball Association champions.
Exactly. Just so sick. You know what?
I just defended you, and I also just predicted that Denver could win in three in a row, so I'm not belittling them. Otherwise, I wouldn't have said that.
So look at it like this, fellas.
I just said that the Heat was not that good of a team. Go ahead, Eddie.
So look at it like this, fellas. From a standpoint, like, I was watching the game last night from, as Scotty D says, you know he don't like, you know, whenever a team keeps shooting horrid and putrid from three, just keep shooting.
Just keep putting it up.
Yep, Miami shot 25%. The Nuggets shot 17.9%. It was a turnover heavy game. The Nuggets turned it over 14 times to 8. Field goal percentage, Miami was at 34%. The Nuggets weren't too better at 45.2%. From a rebound standpoint,
While you're going through all these terrible stats and citing how terrible these teams are, let me give a shout out to the officials for the worst non-replay overturn I've ever seen. When Jimmy Butler got fouled by kicking a guy, that's a foul. And Aaron Gordon, you couldn't even say he fouled him by not allowing him anywhere to land because he deliberately pulled his feet back and gave him somewhere to land. And they called a foul on that. So good job on the officials for keeping up with the putrid evening.
They changed that rule where the extending the foot is supposed to be an offensive foul the other direction. They changed that rule, and they still got it ridiculously wrong right there. But at the end,
I just think they didn't know what to do. I think they said, yeah, he didn't foul him, but whose ball is it? Who gets the ball? What do we do next? They said, you know what? I was saying foul stand.
We got to keep Miami in it somehow.
Yeah.
The bosses are talking to us. They couldn't find a way to get them to win.
Man, that's terrible.
At the end of the day, the Denver Nuggets are your 2022-2023 NBA champions. And I told you so.
I thought you said the Bucks. I thought you predicted the Bucks.
Well, anyways, moving along from that. Did y'all see the Joker at the press conference?
You picked the Bucks. He can't wait to go ride a horse or something. I think he said
he just want to go to hell home. He want to go back to Serbia. He's like, you know what? I played over 100 games.
I want to go home.
That's enough. Then they said.
I'm already home, but I got to deal with Scotty D.
He said, "Where's the parade?" Somebody said Thursday. He was like, "No, oh, I just want to go home."
I know what the hell I said.
Yeah, that's what you said. But
I was more right than everybody else, and I mean everybody else. I was more right, and at the end of the day, I told everybody.
I am predicting Milwaukee will win the NBA championship, or they'll win the national championship. Nuggets win.
Right. I was more right than Shannon Sharp, Skip Bayless. I was more right than J.J. Redick, Kendrick Perkins. I was more right than Max Kellerman. I was more right than Mike Green. I was more right than everybody. I mean, single person that's got a radio show.
I'm flying into Boston on Thursday.
All these experts have got
tickets to the game Friday.
Yeah, Scotty, tell us about
Aaron Judge. He'll be back. Aaron Judge is on the injured list. I'm hoping he's back by then.
Nobody predicted it.
Hey, Scotty D, did you see the...
And I got tickets on Saturday, too.
Hey, Scotty, did you see the baseball announcer getting hit in the face with a foul ball in the press box?
I did. Yeah, that was Yankees announcer John Sterling.
I may have first predicted.
Oh, that foul ball is coming back our way, and it hit me, and it.
He's like, ow, ow.
What's the fuck's ball?
So he's still rambling. Who is he talking to? The hell is going on here, ladies and gentlemen?
I don't know, but a couple years ago, I picked the Braves to win the World Series in March, and they did win the World Series, and I didn't talk about it. But maybe a minute when we did our show and B-Live, he's predicted a winner of a team that was already in the finals, and they were the number one team in the West, and he told us so. And congratulations, you did do.
B-Live, you so
congratulations.
B-Live, you got it right here. We got a few minutes here, and the world of golf was wild. The LIV PGA merger, is it off? Is it on? But before we get to that, we had a Canadian winning the Canadian Open. Scotty D, tell us about what the hell happened on a wild weekend on the Canadian links.
Oh man! Well, as you said, the week started with all the chaos of the LIV announcement. We were talking about it last week because it happened right before we started our show last week, and that was the big story, and it carried the weekend. And then Sunday afternoon happened, and the RBC Canadian Open had a Canadian leading. On the 14th tee box, Nick Taylor stepped up, and they sang the Canadian national anthem to this guy, and it was awesome. And I'm not Canadian. I'm American. And I thought it was awesome. It was really a cool moment. And then he gets to the 18th hole and has this unbelievable birdie putt, just a little bender down the hill that puts him at 17 under par. And meantime, Tommy Fleetwood was a couple holes back, and he's playing really good golf. And he birdies 16, he birdies 17, and all he needs is a birdie on the par 5 18, which he had birdied three times that week, and he parred it. So that sent us into ended up being, I believe, four holes of playoffs. And Nick Taylor, on the fourth playoff, drained a 72-foot uphill putt that just sent the crowd into a frenzy, because no Canadian had won that tournament in over 60 years. And wow, his Canadian friends were there, and one of them came running onto the green with champagne and got tackled right there on the green. Yeah, it was fantastic. It was Adam Hadman, his fellow PJ player. He got hit by security, and kudos to the guard for doing his job. You know who he was.
He needs to be signed by the NFL.
It was like Goldberg spear. It was nice. It was beautiful. Right.
Form tackle NFL, Goldberg spear, WWE, sign that security guy up. That it was pandemonium. Like,
it was gotta great.
Got new in our little chat that we have. You mentioned if we had seen it, and I'm like, man, I really wasn't paying attention. Then I caught a glimpse. I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, like, it was high drama.
It was a beautiful, just I love to see that type of energy. And the thing about it is, I love seeing that energy in golf, a sport that doesn't normally have that type of energy, but you see it evolving before our very eyes, and I think it's great for the sport.
And it gives a momentum going into US Open weekend. I mean, there was a big deal for Nick Taylor, a Canadian, to win the Canadian Open.
I think the first time in 69 years.
Yeah, you know? It was over 60 years, 69 years, I believe. You're right. And it was a great story. And I was, Tommy Fleetwood's not American either, so I really didn't care. If he was American, I probably would have been rooting for Nick Taylor anyway, just because I thought it was cool that they had that opportunity. And the crowd was just completely into it. They were backing him so much. And then Fleetwood, being a European guy, had some of the European golfers actually come out to try to level the playing field, because all the cheers were going against him. Now, the crowd wasn't disrespectful. They weren't really like this, but they were clearly cheering for Nick Taylor. Yeah, it was a great finish. And I'm kind of glad that it ended that way, with Nick Taylor winning it rather than Tommy Fleetwood shanking one into the woods and losing, because you hate to see a bad finish like that. But it was a stellar finish. And they needed that, because as of Tuesday at the US Open, some players are getting there and doing their interviews. A lot of them are still very sore with the way that this whole tour unfolded, because they're still unclear as to what the path is going forward with the PGA and the LIV Tour. And it's still possible they could be two separate entities, both being paid by this fund, by the Saudi Arabian fund. So yeah, it's the guys are still not happy. Some of them are very unhappy with Monahan. A lot of the guys still backing him, but there's a lot of unsteadiness and a lot of unhappiness. So that was a good weekend for golf, and hopefully with the U.S. Open coming up, we have another great weekend on the horizon.
Yep. Another great weekend of golf. It's been a great weekend of sports. We got a champion crown in the NBA. Wildness in the great white north of Canada. Thoughts and prayers go out to the those affected by the Canadian wildfires. We dealt the smoke down here, and we just hope all is well with everybody up there in good old Canada, the great white north. Coming right up, Beth. Go ahead, be last.
Same thing to the victims of the shooting in Denver as well. I think they're up to 10 injured from a shooting in Denver. We don't know if it's completely associated with the finals, but prayers to them as well.
Yeah, boggles my mind. You win, people get shot. You flip cars, tear stuff up. I don't understand. It's nuts. It's crazy. Everybody be careful. Love yourself and protect yourself, right? Coming up, we're going to be talking about the National Football League, OTAs, right around the corner going on as we speak. And what's going on with these running backs? DeAndre Hopkins, Saquon, Dalvin Cook, and more.
Diggs?
And Stephon Diggs. What the hell is that all about? Coming right up here on the Sports Bros Podcast. Yep, you hear B laugh giggling. We are all smiles, jokes, ha ha he he hell, and chicanery and everything over here at the Sports Bros Podcast. But as we move away from basketball, we're in the thick of things with baseball. The National Football League is getting ready for this upcoming season. I think I heard on the radio yesterday that Sunday Ticket is going to be on YouTube. Weirdness is just all kind of mess going on. Thursday night football, about the games, no one really cares. But that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about some trending topics in the news of the National Football League. Fellas, the Vikings have parted ways with Pro Bowl running back Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook has had four straight seasons of 1,000-plus yards and 45 touchdowns. Dalvin Cook is a dynamic running back. Why did he get released? I don't quite understand. Anybody got any thoughts about Dalvin Cook?
Here's the thing. It isn't really just about Dalvin Cook. It's an entire trend and a movement in the NFL.
Yeah.
And the NFL is always known to be a copycat league. And everything is trending towards quarterback play, passing, more passing and passing. On top of passing, with passing, with a little sprinkle of passing, receiving, passing, passing, and receiving.
And a halfback option with a dash of passing.
Right. So, outside of the very few running backs that are a receiving option, traditional style running backs are essentially a dinosaur. Dalvin Cook isn't the only casualty of you look at a bunch of running backs that are under the age of 30 that are unemployed, and it's going to be, and not only is it really where they're unemployed, it's also where you're not paying top dollar for running backs. You, especially at the end of the day, like the shelf life of running back in the NFL, once you're over 28, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. And over 30, you just might as well call it a day unless you are a viable receiving threat. So someone like the likes of Christian McCaffrey, or really, can you name a few others? Somebody help a brother out, because there ain't too many of them either. But that's what everything is trending. Nobody's paying top dollar for running backs. They're looking for the next best thing out of the draft and things like that, or they're filling up their running back room with two or three running backs. So it is what it is. And Dalvin Cook just happens to be the latest casualty.
Well, if you can pay Alexander Mattison $6 million, to do the job that Dalvin Cook was doing for $12 million or $13 million. It makes perfect business sense.
Yep.
The thing is, I do think that Dalvin Cook is pretty special. I don't think he's like you could see the last couple seasons, Ezekiel Elliott slowing down season by season, kind of wearing down. And to the point where the writing was on the wall, the Cowboys couldn't bring him back again at that price tag. It's still possible he goes back there, but it would be at a much reduced rate because nobody has claimed him. But Dalvin Cook is not that. He's still pretty much, I think, on top of his game. 27's not old. 28's not old. But like you said, they get beat up a little bit. And in the NFL, that seems like an old player at this point. So, yeah, they're instead of paying a guy, they're going to go to the draft and get somebody out of the second, third round who's going to be a fraction of the money. I mean, I think I heard today that Kansas City's going into this season paying $3 million on running backs. Wow. $3 million for their backfield. That's crazy. And that's because their quarterback is so darn good that they don't need. And can you imagine right Dalvin Cook back there?
But and the thing about it is, they're right there is exactly what I was saying.
Yeah.
If you're defending Super Bowl champion, Dynasty doesn't need running backs. Why in the world would you be paying $10, $11, $12 million? Like it's tough right now. And you throw in another name, Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley is hurt right now. And he is in his feelings because he clearly had the best year of his career last year. And the Giants organization said, we would rather take mediocre QB play over stellar running back play. If that isn't a clear statement, I've ever seen in my life, they'd rather pay mediocre QB play. And I'm talking mediocre is being friendly.
But I tell you how I think this is going to be cyclical in a way?
Hold on, Scotty D. And real quick, B-Live, since you said that, like, Saquon Barkley, let me get at his numbers. He had 1,300 yards on the ground, 4.4 yards of carries, and 10 touchdowns. With him healthy, they went 9-7-1 and went to the playoffs, and they were able to turn the corner this past season, because he was healthy.
Because it definitely wasn't because of Daniel Jones. I can tell you that right now.
Hell no. No way in the world.
But they're because you're defending, reigning, undisputed, almost dynasty, Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs did it without a viable running game. They went with their fourth string. Well, when did Pacheco get picked in the draft? Wasn't he like a fourth round or draft?
I think so, yeah.
Third, yeah, he was deep in his draft. Yeah, deep.
But he began the season as their fourth string running back. And they took him and made him into a star on the cheap. So why? If they could do that, Poe, what my boy name? Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Him. This dude came out of college as the next big thing. And now I don't even know where he's even at. If that don't tell you about the life of a running back in the NFL.
See, I think it's going to be cyclical, though, because right now there are no teams building around the running back. They're just not. And it used to be that way. You would build around an Emmitt Smith or Barry Sanders. You know, you would build around Walter Payton. That was like the focal point of the offense. And then as time went on, more pro-style offenses leaked down into college football. So now college football runs pro-style offenses. So the quarterbacks got better. They coming in, quarterbacks were ready to play, whereas that didn't used to be that way back when the running back was more important. But now I think the quarterbacks that are coming in are sucky. I mean, the quarterback play in the NFL, to me, is on a downward trend. So at some point, you're going to need that guy to carry the load to take the pressure off of your lousy quarterbacks like your Dak Prescott's. Or you're going to need like a Joe Mixon to help Joe Burrow go to the next level, because he's not as good as Patrick Mahomes, who is the best. He's one of the best ever, and he doesn't need a great running back, just like Tom Brady didn't need a great running back.
Well, here's the thing, but the NFL made a focal point on protecting the quarterback.
They did.
So your quarterback time span life is 20 years where it used to be 10 to 15.
Now, yeah, but if you're not good though, that's the thing. If you come in and you're not good, your lifespan's short. Well, I mean, Tennessee drafted a quarterback last year, and they're already trying to figure out a way to get away from him. He could even play in the playoff game when the other starters or the other guys on the depth chart were hurt. That's the kind of thing that we're looking at, I think, in the NFL. You got some bad quarterbacks coming in. You need the good quarterbacks.
Yep. And then I'm sorry to be loud, but then, you know, Dalvin Cook, I saw earlier today, he's like, look, a lot of them are speculating that he's going to go to Miami. And he's like, look, I want to go where they want Dalvin Cook. And as far as Saquon goes, if a deal is not reached by July the 17th, you know, he could sit out the season because he did not sign his $10.1 million tag. So, like, what you going to do, New York? Like, what you going to do? But go ahead and be live.
Oh, yeah. Basically, what I'm saying is that I hear what Skydy is saying is that we need better quarterback play. Well, some teams need better quarterback play. At the end of the day, they're gonna be chasing Mount Everest because Patrick Mahomes is gonna be in the league for another 15 years, and every team's gonna be chasing a Patrick Mahomes, and you're not gonna get a Patrick Mahomes. Heck, they keep trying to talk up Justin Herbert like he is the next big thing. He still ain't gotten over that hump. Trevor Lawrence is turning that corner. Joe Burrow is the heir apparent, but he's still Patrick Mahomes. Those great quarterbacks right now can't even get to where teams want them to get to. Hey, I mean, so what exactly do you do? I don't know the exact equation, but right now it's clear the writing's on the wall. Teams do not value running backs. Babies don't have your grown-ups don't have your babies grow up to be
Cowboys.
That's actually a good point. And I'm meaning talking about Cowboy fans, but also don't have them grow up to be running backs.
So, oh, I'd love to have Dalvin Cook in Dallas. Oh, that'd be nice. Dalvin Cook and Tony Pollard. Oh,
what a dream. You already know that's not happening.
I know, but I would like it.
You like everybody would like it.
I also know I'm not going to be making out with any Kardashian girls, but I would like that too.
You actually like them heifers? Am I allowed to say that?
Can I say heifers? They're cute.
And I get to the yams. All right, so going from the from the running back position to the wide receiver position, DeAndre Hopkins, be live. You got any news on the latest of D Hop Nuke, your boy from Clemson?
Here, and this is also an inherent problem. D Hop, he has the skill set. But it's one of those things, the price tag that he's looking for, I don't think is something that a team is willing. Because D-Hop is at that, I think he's at his prime. But the teams that are already established are good to go. And the teams that are trying to get there, I don't think either A, don't have the quarterback play to make him viable at that price range, or their focus is elsewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like he's right now, the calls are very slim as to who wants his services at his price. I think every team could use his services, but at a price range, at a price tag of 20 million, it's those big wide receiver contracts aren't paying out exactly what, because once here's a very valid, once again, copycat league. Kansas City Chiefs. Who is their number one wide receiver?
Kadarius Toney.
Juju Smith-Schuster?
Yeah.
Mecole Hardman? They did it without a big name wide receiver.
With a CD and E wide receiver. Not an A and B, but a CD and E. That's not a slight to them. It's just great coaching, and it fit their system.
So it's one of those things where You look at a Cincinnati Bengal team that's young, and they're stacked at the wide receiver position. Teams that are looking for a 30-year-old wide receiver, and there's a lot of wide receivers that came into the draft this year. They went four straight, 19, 20, 21, and 22 in the first round of wide receivers. Someone team paying $20 million for a year for a wide receiver. Those days might be behind us too.
Why are all receivers wackadoodles? We got Diggs up there in Buffalo. I don't know what's going on right now. He's being wackadoodle up there. Wow. Hopkins is a bit wackadoodle. And Diggs is wackadoodle, and he's got a contract. The reports are it's not a contract thing. He's going a little wackadoodle. But remember, T.O. is way wackadoodle, Antonio Brown wackadoodle, Joe Horn, Mike Wervin at time. What is up with that position? These guys are all goofed. They're all goofed.
Keyshawn Johnson said it best. Give me the damn ball.
He was a wackadoodle at times.
They want the damn ball.
Yeah. Goofed. Big goofballs. Bunch of them receivers.
I forgot who said it, but why
Chad Ochocinco. Wackadoodle.
But wide receivers have been known to be prima donnas, and D-Hop's my dude. Nuke Hopkins is my Clemson deal. All roads lead to Dabo. But man, I don't consider him wackadoodle. I just consider him very unfortunate situations. Let me describe D Hop's career.
Let's get it. I know you're going. I know exactly where you're going, but go ahead.
He had a prime situation with the quarterback that went to the same college as him. No, they know the same system together. They have a chemistry. And the organization just trades them out of the blue because of what? Because they didn't get them. Come on, dude. And he gets traded to another organization. And now the coach decides, he says, I'm done with football altogether. He's somewhere in the Philippines. His quarterback is 5'0", and he don't want to study a playbook. And D-Hop is over here like, I'm over here catching everything. I'm being triple teamed and I'm catching everything. And now it's to the point where, like, somebody help a brother out. Like,
toss him a pack of nabs or something.
Like, if anybody deserves to be a little wackadoodle, it's him.
Understand.
If I had to go from the Texans to the Cardinals and just doing everything I can. The only reason why either one of those teams are even mentioned in any type of breath is because I'm there. Man.
And the funny thing about it was, I thought when D-Hop went to Arizona, I'm like, that's it. That's the missing piece.
I think Larry Fitzgerald was still there. I thought that was going to be like, hey, are you going to get mentored? And this is going to, and just, the, I don't know, the bottom fell out of that team. And that wasn't D-Hop's fault at all.
No.
Larry Fitzgerald, not a wackadoodle.
No.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is the dude to listen to be mentored by. And that's just wackadoodle. I don't even like the fact that you brought that term up. Where did you even get that term, wackadoodle? But it's now part of the show. Throw it in the title. But man, this is Eddie Cool. I'm gonna help you out real quick though, because we need to Amtrak, because this could be one of our longest episodes ever. Because we know how we gotta move on.
Exactly. All right. So speaking of wackadoodle, Stephon Diggs, there's a tweet per Adam Schefter, per his agent, and it says, "Wait a minute, this will happen when you try to read off of a tablet." I'm back. Here we go. He didn't come to OTAs or whatever. He said, Adam Schefter tweets, Stephon Diggs' agent, Adisa Bakari, said his client is in Buffalo, has been in Buffalo since yesterday morning, took his physical, met with the head coach and the GM the past 2 days, and the Pro Bowl wide receiver will be there for the entirety of minicamp. Scott, didn't they say he wasn't there?
But it's not today, right?
The sources that said he were there were reliable. That came from multiple people that, okay. that he was there, but he did leave. He left, and that left. And McDermott, the coach, said that concerned him. He was worried about that. Makes and then sense. Josh Allen was interviewed, and he said something to the effect of, I love that guy. He's my dude. Always got his back. But something is up. Something's going on. And it is evidently not a contract dispute type of thing. So there's some other clash going on with Diggs. The ESPN radio even reported, they said, sounds like he could be trying to unhappy himself out of Buffalo like NBA players do.
They said the same way like he did in Minnesota too. Because somebody, I think I read a headline like, you know, Stephon Diggs was on the same behavior pattern as he was that he is in Buffalo as he was in Minnesota. I tell you what, try to find you another Josh Allen. Okay, you went from Kirk Cousins, Mr. You Like That. Case Keenum to Josh Allen. Whatever it is, I hope the brother get it together.
How many wide receivers are lobbying trying to get on with the Chiefs since they don't really have a viable wide receiver one? I don't know. The Kansas City Chiefs are just they're glitching the matrix, and something needs to be fixed because they gonna keep winning as you see all these other franchises doing all this dancing around. Only like really right now, the only other franchise that could be remotely close to being stable is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah,
like the Jets right now, just they are salivating. I need them just to stop. Like I have never, you know, be live. Don't do that on the air. I had a statement I was about to say, and it's just wrong. Inappropriate for the air when it comes to the Jets and how they feel about their new quarterback.
So and with that being said, looking at my tablet, because it's almost that time, because you ain't finna nasty this up. Guess what time it is, fellas? I'm glad you asked. It is time once again for our favorite portion of the show, The Choices of the Voices. You just nasty. And with that being said, hey, yo, Button, hit it. Be like, quit being nasty. Choices of the Voices coming right up. Scotty looks appalled. Look at him. He can't stand it.
And we still don't know who Paul is.
Call back.
And now, our favorite part of the show, The Choices of the Voices.
Once again, thank you to the wonderful land. Scotty D, hold your ears. Ever. So love him as Button for introducing our favorite portion of the show, The Choices of the Voices. Man, you know how we do it. We ask y'all the question. Y'all give us some answers. Be live, figure it. Y'all don't know how to read. Scotty D racks his brain to come up with these questions. But nevertheless, we love you and we thank you for it. We did something different this week. And if you look at my t-shirt on YouTube, which you should subscribe to our YouTube channel, like, comment, rate, review, tell everybody about the Sports Bros Podcast on YouTube. That be us. Scotty D, what's on tap for this week's Choices of the Voices?
Spur of the moment, last week I asked everyone to tell us their top three favorite cartoon characters are. Okay, top three. And I think everyone followed the rules this week.
I think one person will put in a really close fourth, but that was about it.
Okay.
From the looks of what they did. So let's go ahead and get right into it. Our friend to the show, JR, aka Smooth D Star Walker, he says Stewie from The Family Guy, Huey from The Boondocks, and Bender from Futurama. I'm in Punta Cana with a new Jabam. Anyways, I messed that up. Anyways, we got Hunter Simboli up next. He says, gonna have to go with Patrick from SpongeBob, Finn from Adventure Time, and Mordecai from The Regular Show. Hall of Famer Uncle.
Do you guys know who any of these people are, okay, by the way?
I am 4 for 6. 4 for 6 of how many I know.
All right. So let's go. We should know this one.
Way ahead of me.
We should know these ones here. The Hall of Famer Uncle Max, he says Bugs Bunny, Droopy the Dog, and Snoopy.
Okay, there we go.
All right, Brian Lovell, he says Hong Kong Phooey, Captain K, man.
Okay.
And the Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, all right. Now we're talking.
Let's go. We cook with hot grease, baby. Wendy, I'm so cool with the breeze. She says Foghorn Leghorn.
Nice. Kimba,
and Gossamer.
Don't know who that is.
Gossamer, it sounds familiar, but I
Kimba.
Kimba or Simba. I don't know.
Kimba sounds dangerous. I don't know if I know about no Kimbas.
Might be one of them adult cartoons. Anyways, Daniel Williams, she said Top Cat. Ooh, that's a nice throwback.
Top Cat, yeah.
He was cool. He had a top hat and a vest. He was cool. He was stage right even. No, that's Nettlepuss. Anyways, Rocco from Rocco's Modern Life and Scooby-Doo. All right. Marcus James, he says Homer J. Simpson, Ren Hoek. Not Hawk, but Hoek from Ren and Stimpy and Beavis. All right. The best name in the game, JoJo Comfort. He says Dumb Donald, El Kabong, and Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Slowpoke Rodriguez. I remember that one.
Yes, sir. Stan Sagely, he says. Stan Sagely, he says Scooby-Doo, Bobby Hill, Dermot Bobby, and Summer from Rick and Morty.
Okay. Yep.
And from the looks
of, don't know that one.
And from the looks of it, Be Live, I think that's it. Did I miss any?
I think Joel Turner, I think, yeah. He said Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, and Scooby-Doo. And he says, with Fat Albert, a really close fourth. I prefer animals versus people in cartoons. All right. Ta-da. Yeah.
Yes, he did say that. I must have skipped over him, but he did say that. So shout out to everybody for their participation in this week's Choices of the Voices, the microwave edition. Damn, we ran through that real quick. Scotty D, who you got?
I got Homer as my number three. Love Homer Simpson. Number two is a tie, only because I can't have Beavis without Butthead. Those two guys are a package deal for me.
Hey, Beavis.
And number one's Bugs Bunny. I mean, not just Bugs himself, but the entire everybody around Bugs. Bugs gave the rub to Elmer Fudd. He helped put over Yosemite Sam. He helped put over Daffy Duck. I mean, if you round Bugs, you get to shine. So I liked all those guys, even Sylvester and Tweety. You know, anybody around Bugs. Yeah, you know, Bugs Bunny will put you over, baby. So those are my three.
Bugs Bunny does the job. Who you got, B-Live?
Oh, you know what? I'm a different type. I'm a different breed. It is what it is. I'm doing this for pure comedic purposes. First of all, Sky D, I didn't like the fact you put my number three pick in there. Because I felt some type of way I need to lose some weight. But number three is Fat Albert.
I did.
I was like, you know what? That's my motivation. I'm gonna lose some weight. Number two,
Baby Wubbs and Baby Fowl.
Number two, Wubbs Wubbs and Mush Mouth. Number two, I've gotten this nickname for quite a long time, and from time to time, it will sometimes show up as my profile picture on Facebook, but Little Bill. Some tells me that there's a trend going on because that's two characters from Bill Cosby. He was my hero, but but you know what? I'm gonna mess up the whole algorithm right now because number one, they needed more than four seasons. I need like 20 seasons of this. The first three seasons were better than the fourth season. It is what it is. But I follow a voice actor on TikTok now, Gary Anthony Williams.
Oh, boy.
But my number one of all time, it has to be Uncle Ruckus, No Relation.
How y'all doing? This is Uncle Ruckus. How y'all doing? We ain't supposed to be on
I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is.
We'll tell you.
From the Boondocks. If you've never seen a Boondocks episode, from
the Boondocks.
I understand it's for us by
oh no, don't do that. Don't you dare do that.
Oh my goodness. Dude, just on TikTok the other day, Gary Anthony Williams had the guy that was the voice of Jimmy Revel. It's not politically correct at all. People will be so offended by this cartoon, but that's what makes it great. Uncle Ruckus is a racist black dude that thinks he's white that has vitiligo. He keeps getting darker every year. He was born white and kept getting darker and darker.
That's a clever concept. I'm going to have to look into that.
It's hilarious. It's
beautiful. Like, it's the writing and everything. It's just... All right. Oh, it's such a great show. But yes, Uncle Ruckus, no relation. Eddie Koo, who's your top three?
I ain't got no top three.
No, let me stop. All right, so my top three, the first one has sentimental value, The Roadrunner. Why? Because that... me and my dad, we used to watch Looney Tunes every night, 7 p.m. on Nickelodeon Channel 18 on Park Cable. Yeah, back then. And my daddy had a dream that Roadrunner snuck up behind him and it woke him up out of his sleep and he jumped out of bed. And my mama said, what the hell's wrong with you? Then they later went to the flea market. Yeah. Then they went to the flea market and got one of those wind yard ornaments. And guess what it was? A freaking Roadrunner. So the Roadrunner always holds a spot in my heart. Number two, Granddad from the Boondocks, because he is voiced by the legendary
John Witherspoon. Yes, sir.
Boys. You got to have soul, player. So
new shoes.
Yeah, Granddad from the Boondocks, voiced by legendary John Witherspoon. And my personal favorite, boy, I say the incomparable Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah.
Foghorn Leghorn. And the reason why I like Foghorn Leghorn so much, he used to give that damn dog the blues. but one of the best cut down, put down lines I've ever heard in my 40 years on this planet. He told a dog, he said, "What's the matter with you, dog? You look like 2 miles of rough road."
The lines. He had the best lines. There ain't no doubt about that. There is no doubt about that.
I say something. His head ain't quite right. He used to give him his Pearly the blues, that little chicken hawk the blues, the dog the blues. If you was in his way, 9 times out of 10, he was going to get you. So Roadrunner, Granddad, and the incomparable Foghorn Leghorn. Rumor has it the governor of the state of South Carolina has the same lingo as Foghorn Leghorn. Don't know how true that is, but it sounds just right. Scotty D, I'm sweating. What's on tap for next week's Choices of the Voices?
All right, so we're going to talk a little baseball here next week and ask, which of the new baseball rules from the past few years do you like and do you hate? And there's been actually several, from the DH, the instant replay, the extra inning rule, putting the runner on second base, bigger bases, the pitch clock, the relief pitchers only being able to pitch or being restricted to three batter minimum. There's been several rules here in the last few years. Which ones do you like and which ones do you hate? That next week will give us something to talk about. Eddie Cool.
We go from cartoon to rules in baseball. Coming up right here.
Let's see if we can limit the one you like the most and one you hate. But it's yours. It's yours because you know how people, they'll go off on a tangent. You know, we'll have somebody write a dissertation up in there.
then B-Live got to surmise it. I got to hit it with a highlighter. Anyways, it is what it is. We love y'all. And thank y'all for this week's participation in the Choices of the Voices. Coming up next. It's a round of pepper. I got to blow my nose because it's runny, but I'm not no pepper or anything. But next round of pepper. Who put it right here on the Sports Bros Podcast?
Okay, boys, let's bring it home with a round of pepper.
All right, y'all, you heard the woman. It's time for us to go home and get what I call the hell up out of here. With that being said, it's another edition of Pepper. You know how we do it. Three topics, rapid fire style, kind of, sort of, not really, here to engage, educate, enlighten, and entertain. Man, if you would hear some of the off-air conversation, you'd be like, what the hell is going on with them? But you'll never hear that. Mm-mm. No, you won't. No, you won't. All right. Now, with that being said, I'll go first. On this day in history, back in 1870, the all-pro Cincinnati Red Stockings, or the Cincinnati Red Sox, whatever the hell you want to call them, suffered their first loss in 130 games, all right? So they went undefeated back in 1869 at 57-0. And to start the season, they tacked on some more wins to bring it to 81. You know, if you do the math, it's 130. It'll give or take a few numbers. So who the hell's counting? But that streak was snapped when they lost to the Brooklyn Atlantics 8-7. Yep, all streaks must end, even as Jade Cargill. Over to you, Scotty D.
All right. Okay. So last Tuesday, as the LIV Golf and the PGA Golf story broke, and everybody's looking to get some sound bites and some interviews, CNN sought out Bryson DeChambeau. That's right, Bryson DeChambeau.
Bryson.
Formerly the big powerhouse, and now just current knucklehead without the muscles. So they asked him just some various questions. He kind of did a little, I feel bad for them because they didn't give they won, but we did kind of stuff. And then they asked him about the Saudi Arabia human rights situation, and he was a little uncomfortable with that. And then they asked him about the killing of Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi. And short version, DeChambeau said, it's unfortunate what has happened, but that's not something I can speak on because I'm a golfer. I'm not going to get into the politics of it. I'm not specialized. But what I can say is they're trying to do good for the world and showcase themselves in a light that hasn't been seen in a while. Nobody is perfect, but we're all trying to improve in life. Nobody is perfect, Bryson. That applies to people who interrupt you when you're talking, or men who leave the toilet seat up and cause a pain in the for the girlfriends. Not for people who fly planes and kill thousands into New York City. Not that type of people. It does the phrase "nobody is perfect" apply? So, Bryson, you might want to kind of stay away from the microphones whenever anything of importance comes up going forward, my man. Be live. Over to you.
I hit ball.
Being someone that's behind the mic a lot. Oh boy. And speaking of all that off the air stuff, I was still shooting live when I dropped that bomb earlier. And so, hey, but that's why this is practice. I'm gonna get better about doing this. Well, all right. My first pepper point of this episode, I'm gonna piggyback off of Scotty D when it comes to LIV Golf and lawsuits. You know that PGA said they couldn't afford to keep fighting with LIV and PIF and $600 billion. They couldn't afford it, which is understandable. Tens of millions of dollars they already spent fighting lawsuits. Well, LIV Golf is now fighting a little lawsuit of their own. Specifically, Phil Mickelson's team, the High Flyers GC team, because of their logo. It's got a little, it looks like two F's facing the other way from each other. And I just so happened to look up the logo that the company that is suing LIV Golf. And oh yeah, LIV and High Flyers, y'all stole that, bro. y'all stole that from, let me see if I can pull this up real quick. Cool Brand Supply. They said it sold footwear and apparel bearing its trademark logo with back-to-back F's since 2003. And the LIV Golf logo, they use a similar logo. They stole that, bro. They're going to have to come off that money. I'm just saying, I looked at both of you. That's about the same. So LIV Golf, PGA, LIV Golf and PIF and now and PGA, you might have to absorb that one because, Phil Mickelson, whoever created it, they did that. Eddie Cool, the ball.
They should be fighting the CW Network for preempting their golf tournament for like, this is paid programming by John Popeil and the Veggie Maker. Anyways, so that's either here nor there. Second paper point, be live, you're going to like this one because it involves your boy Trevor Lawrence and his team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, all right? In case you haven't been paying attention, Tony Khan and them said, you know what, we're going to, his daddy and them said, we're going to renovate the stadium. It's going to take a while, right? So Guess who threw their name in the hat as a possible temporary home for the Jacksonville Jaguars? Scotty D, you going to love this one?
Absolutely will. Yep.
The Daytona Motor Speedway is an option for the Jacksonville Jaguars, all right? According to CBS Sports, the Jacksonville Jaguars are currently planning to speak with the Daytona International Speedway about potentially using the racetrack as a temporary home stadium should planned renovations to the TIAA Bank Field come to fruition. The Jaguars announced their proposal to renovate their home stadium on Wednesday, a project which would end up displacing them for at least two seasons. Damn, that kind of reminds me of Minnesota when they played in the cold, all right? The Speedway has hosted four college football games from 1974 to 1975. With teams like Bethune-Cookman, Florida A&M, and Mississippi Valley State playing on the 4.5-acre infield within the Tri-Oval. In July of last year, the Speedway hosted a two-day international soccer tournament in the same area. So, Scotty D, when next time you watch the Jaguars, you might see some cars making another left turn and some soccer players. And with that being said, over to you, Scotty D.
I would love to see a football game and a NASCAR race at the same time.
Oh, boy.
He's throwing off. You don't know what to do.
Yeah. All right. So let me shift over to the good, which is locally here in Pittsburgh. I spoke this past winter of how excited I was that Andrew McCutchen was coming home, even though I had low expectations. And then if you recall, I had some very emotional words to speak whenever he returned for opening day and he stepped up to the plate and the fans in attendance just lost it for me. He got choked up. Well, Andrew McCutchen gave us another great moment this past Sunday when leading off for the Buccos against the New York Mets, he ripped a single into left field for the 2,000th hit of his career. Andrew McCutchen, a milestone, and having a good year. He's batting .265 currently for the Pirates, who are still relevant right now, still battling for that first place spot with Milwaukee. But Andrew McCutchen just continues to deliver the goods for Pirate fans, even after being away for 5 years, coming home and giving us some great moments already this season. So kudos to my boy, Andrew McCutchen. Be live, your turn.
Wait till y'all get O'Neill Cruz back. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, O'Neill Cruz not come back till August, though.
Hey, that's the push time. That is the push time. Hey, that's when Atlanta decide they want to win it all. So let's figure it out. Let's get it. Let's go. My second pepper point, oh, man, is going to go back to the NBA Finals because the Miami Heat were getting beat left and right, literally. Because not only did the Heat suffer losses in Game 4, their mascot took an L as well.
Yeah.
Where there was the Heat mascot, Bernie, he had to go to the local emergency room after twice getting punched by UFC star Conor McGregor during an on-court bit during Game 4 of the NBA Finals, according to he got knocked out by Conor McGregor for real during a bit on the court and had to go to the hospital. Like, I guess Conor McGregor hit him too hard through the mascot head. Miami Heat just taking L's. But he's doing fine, but he had to get some pain medication because I guess Conor McGregor does not know how to hold back his punches. Eddie Cool. Bing, bing, bing. The ball.
Letting them fly like the time Brock Lesnar put that big bear paw upside Braun Strowman's head. Let another one slip and see what happened. All right, so last week I broke news about Zion Williamson.
Oh, boy.
About to be a daddy, about to be. He played 29 games last year, and he averaged about 26 points a game. So there's 82 games in the NBA season. He only played 29, so the rest of the games – he kind of just stayed home, chilled, looked like he was doing good. Well, evidently, Zion has been a busy man. After revealing the gender of his daughter, adult film star Mariah Mills lost her ever-loving wee-hoo, and she unveils of their relationship slash romp around, if you want to call it. The 32-year-old adult actress was having relational engagements, an entanglement, if you will, with the 23-year-old Pelicans star. Mariah Mills went on a lengthy expose rant on Twitter that is probably still going during the airing of this show. I've seen it, and I'm like, you know what? Lord have mercy, Jesus. So I'm going to give my thoughts on the situation real quick. Fellas, be careful about the women that you deal with, because what you don't want to do, you experience the highs of highs about to be in a daddy to the lows of lows and getting dragged on Twitter by a ex-adult film star. And at last mention, Mariah Mills is probably still talking. Fellas, wear condoms, and in the words of Scotty D, do better, and in the words of Be Live, make better choices. Over to you, Scotty D.
Before Scotty D goes into his public service announcement, to the young gentleman of the area codes of 843-803-864, they may have added a couple more, but those are the
854.
Those are the primary area codes I need to speak to right now. Us South Carolina boys are not doing well right now, especially when it comes to the NBA. Please make better choices. Please, I beg of you. Somebody's got to do something for us in South Carolina, because John Morant and Zion Williamson are taking L's right now. Scotty D, I apologize for the interruption.
You know what NBA player is making a really good choice? Boban Marjanovic. He bounced again. It's the best commercial going right now. It stole the show during the NBA Finals. Yeah. Anyway, all right. So this past weekend, Amanda Nunes, perhaps the greatest fighter in UFC history, male or female, defeated her opponent, Irene Aldana, in dominating fashion, and then promptly retired. Two-division champion, the champ, laid both of her belts down and said, "That's it. I'm calling it a career." And while Nunez never had, like, the flash of Ronda Rousey or, like, the signature win like Holly Holm, she has been just a steady lioness the last couple years, defeating everyone handily. And this actually was much to the dismay of Juliana Pena, who was cage-side and wanted to actually storm the ring or the cage and try to caused a little bit of a ruckus, because she saw her last cash cow walking out. Juliana Pena, if you remember, defeated Amanda Nunes, I believe it was a year and a half ago, only to have that loss avenged when Nunes defeated her last year. So Nunes has nothing left to prove and no opponents. She's cleared out multiple divisions. No one can touch this woman. And she thinks right now is the time to get out. Now, personally, you know me, I never trust fighters when they say I retire. Who's to say some young up-and-comer doesn't draw her back in a year or two? But for now, Amanda Nunes walks out of the octagon for the final time as perhaps UFC's biggest, baddest star of all time. Be Live, over to you.
Oh, Amanda Nunes. Hey, wish you the best in your WWE career. She mentioned it. All right, cool.
Hey.
Third and final pepper point, and I told my bros that the stay tuned, because I want to kill two birds with one stone, and I want to reintroduce the world. And I'll be doing this every third pepper point here on out. This is your boy, the Almighty Be Live with What Happened. And my third and final pepper point is as such. The Oakland Athletics, the Oakland A's owner, president, they've been in talks with the city of Las Vegas about moving their baseball team to Las Vegas. Well, the Oakland A's fans, and we also the owner mentions that, oh, yeah, we did the city of Oakland doesn't support us at all. The fans don't ever show up to the games. Well, the fans said, hold up. Wait a minute. That ain't got nothing to do. You ain't not about to blame the fans on why the business is abysmal in Oakland. So the Oakland A fans decided they are going to do what is called a reverse boycott. And it's actually happening right now. Oakland A's are facing the first place Tampa Bay Rays right now. They're tailgating as we speak on Tuesday afternoon. They're tailgating. They are selling shirts. They've made shirts that say, sell the team, sell the team. There's all kinds of pandemonium going on. At the beginning of the each inning, the fans are gonna be like, sell the team, sell the team. And at the bottom of the inning, I forget what exactly it says. I'm trying to pull it up real quick, but it is a hot entire mess. They're trying to sell out this game only. But once again, there's not that many fans. I think they've sold half the tickets on a Tuesday afternoon. It is what it is. But they're basically trying to get.
They're trying
to get the owners the team and keep the team in Oakland. Yeah. We shall see how this
not happen. Not gonna happen. This is
probably not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Oakland A's the worst team, but they are the hottest team in all of Major League Baseball with 6 wins in a row, and they're trying to make happen to keep the team in Oakland. Fellas, I have gone way over my time. But that is what happened this week with your boy, the Almighty B Live. I'm going to go ahead and do my preamble. Yes, sir.
Because he got to get up out of here.
Got to go. Hey, happy Father's Day out there, everyone. Happy U.S. Open weekend. John Rahm's winning this one, baby.
And in closing, do something nice for yourself. And if you can, do something nice for someone else. They'll greatly appreciate it now more than ever. Be a blessing, not a burden. And don't be like Zion Williams. This has been another episode of the Sports Bros Podcast. We love you. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And happy Father's Day to all. And take your daddy out to dinner. Cook him a steak. That's the least celebrated holiday of the year. Dads matter too.
That's all, folks.
I'll say, Scotty D, this is crazy. I'm looking at somebody in front of me, and they're like, 2 miles of rough road. Can you imagine looking like 2 miles of rough road? Anyways, we out of here. Thanks for love. Thanks for the support, and see you next week right here on the Sports Bros Podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Eddie Cool here from the Sports Bros Podcast. Thank you for listening, and as always, continue to follow us on all of our social media platforms. Just click the link in the description box. Keep up with the Sports Bros Podcast. And once again, thanks for listening.